Bucknell and Mike Axford, reporter, sat in the living room of Britt's apartment having after-dinner coffee, which Cato was serving as they listened to Don Dunlow, well-known radio commentator.
In the black market meat situation, it's fast becoming a vast business that's helping to undermine the economic structure of our country. I promised you, my listeners, that I tracked down those in this city who are responsible for the steady influx of black market meat. By broadcast time tomorrow night, I hope to be able to point a finger at least one of the top men in this nefarious business. In spite of the fact that just before I went on the air tonight, I received a warning, a printed unsigned note, to lay off or else. Good night.
You have been listening to Don Dunlow, your city news detective.
Shut it off, kiddo.
You are behind at this time.
Say no. That Dunlow sure has got a lot of nerve, don't you, Reed? In spite of a warning he got, he's going to keep on after them black market guys. You ought to get the cops to give him a bodyguard. That's what I think.
I understand he refuses to have a bodyguard. Wonder just what it is he has on the black market operators.
Say, maybe if I get to see Dunlow tomorrow before it's broadcast, I can get him to give me the dope so as we can put out an extra right after he goes on the air.
Well, Dunlow never gives any tips to newspapers, Axford. If you did get anything out of him, you'd be the first who ever did.
Well, it won't hurt to try, will it?
Well, go right ahead. In fact, if you do get any worthwhile information from Dunlow, I'll give you a bonus.
Meantime, Don Dunlow, the radio commentator, left the radio station and walked to his car, which was parked in the station's private parking lot nearby.
Oh, Mr. Dunlow.
Yes? What is it?
I have a message for you.
Message for me? What is it?
Just this.
Wise guy.
Last night.
You think the black market weed racketeers are responsible?
What do you think, Axford? Gunnigan.
Yeah, what do you want, Chief?
Reserve space on the editorial page for a hot editorial on the black market meat racket. I want it to go in the next edition. I'll get it down to you in a half an hour.
Okay, Chief. Looks like they ain't going to stop at anything to keep people from interfering with their racket, Chief.
Yes, Gunnigan. But for once, the Daily Sentinel will keep the issue alive until the racket is broken and the gang rounded up. They've gone too far this time.
Well, up to now, the cops ain't got a single lead that'll tell them who's behind the racket or who committed that murder.
The killers will turn up eventually. And until they do, as I said before, the Daily Sentinel will not let this matter drop. You can bet on that.
In a small but well-furnished apartment on the west side of the city, a flashily dressed man with close-set eyes and thin lips sat behind a desk listening while his husky, rough-looking visitor talked.
Well, I gotta admit, Fleetwood, that you know your stuff. Guys I went to out in the country were all willing to sell when they saw the cash. Rounded up enough beef and pork to make another truckload just by going to the places you sent me.
Of course, Shelly. I knew you would.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. When I first met up with you, I had my doubts. You being so fat and all, I didn't think you'd be smart enough.
You're not here to discuss my physical propensities, Jelly. Get on with your report.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, I got enough for another truckload. Tomorrow night, Dave and I will go out and pick the stuff up.
Very good. You can make delivery to the same place you took the last load.
Okay, boss. Cops are putting up quite a holler about Don Dunlow being bumped off last night.
Dunlow's untimely death is most regrettable. He was, unfortunately, my favorite radio commentator.
You mean you're sorry you had us get rid of him? I don't get it. You yourself told Dave to be sure.
I know, Charlie. There's no need to repeat the details. Dunlow precipitated his sudden demise by his uncompromising attitude toward the enterprise by which we make our livelihood.
He did? Well, what do you know? I thought he got bumped off for being too nosy.
Charlie, your crude expressions are a manifestation of a shallow mind. I always regret the passing of a clever mind, especially when I instigate the act.
Yeah, sure. Now, what? Oh, that's Dave.
Let him in.
Yeah, sure.
Hi, Dave. Come on in. There's something here in the paper for the boss to see.
Don't move like a somnambulist. Give it to me.
I thought you meant anything by that.
Oh, forget it, Dave. It ain't an insult. You don't understand what somebody says to you anyway.
Look there on the editorial page, Fleetwood.
Dave, someday your insolence will be your downfall. What is it you want me to read?
Right there. See? What's it say, boss?
The heading says, Black Market and Murder.
Yeah, but read the rest of it.
It stands to reason those responsible for the recent influx of black market meat are also responsible for the murder of Don Dunlow, the radio commentator, whose untiring efforts were directed toward finding evidence that would lead to and convict the vicious racketeers who are taking advantage of the present shortage of necessary commodities. Their well-concealed but effective method of operation indicates that those bringing in black market meat are directed by one who is cold, calculating, and extremely clever. If they concentrate upon finding him, the police will find the one who instigated Dunlow's murder, and the black market meat racket will be broken. There's more, but that gives you the idea, Charlie.
Yeah, and as for me, I don't like what the guy who wrote that says.
The editorial is signed by Britt Reed, publisher of the Daily Sentinel.
He's just blown off through his head.
Could be. Them newspapers have to have something to write about.
Well, we gave him something last night. I guess maybe that Reed guy ain't no dope, though.
You are correct in your assumption. I'd say he shows a great deal of sagacity.
Yeah? What's that?
Sagacity unites penetrating keenness with judicious foresight, to the end that one possessing sagacity seems sometimes uncannily prescient.
For the love of Mike Fleetwood, will you cut out
your lingo, Dave? Britt Reed is a wise guy with a lot of foresight, which makes him a dangerous man to deal with.
Ah, what harm can he do us by writing stuff like that in the Sentinel?
If he continues his editorials, he'll arouse the police to concentrate on our meat racket to the exclusion of all others. And I resent his imputation directed toward me as head of the racket.
You mean it makes you sore, huh?
Yes, you snaffle-headed nincompoop. What do you think I meant?
The only time you talk sense is when you get sore. So I'll overlook the name-calling. If he makes you sore, why don't you do something about it?
Don't tell me what to do, you uncouth ape. Charlie, give me the pencil and paper.
Sure, boss. What are you going to do?
I'm going to send a warning to a man whose cleverness I respect, but whose interference I resent. This time, a printed warning goes to Mr. Britt Reed of the Daily Sentinel.
The following morning, Britt Reed was going over the morning mail with his secretary, Lenore Case.
This is another letter to the editor about the housing situation, Mr. Reed.
Mm-hmm. Well, send it to Gunnigan, this case.
Yes, sir. Oh.
Well, what's the trouble?
This is a printed note. It's a warning. It was addressed to you personally.
Well, let me see it. This is your only warning. Lay off the editorials on a meat business, or you'll regret it. Remember Dunlow.
It's from the same ones who killed Dunlow.
That's right.
Well, what are you going to do, Mr. Reed?
I'll show you right now.
What do you want, Chief?
Gunnigan, be ready to put a boxed editorial in the center of the front page of the next edition. I'll get it down to you shortly.
Okay, Chief. Anything else?
Not now.
Oh, but Mr. Reed, if you do that, then...
Get Inspector Evans on the telephone.
Yes, sir.
Maybe before we're through, those killers will realize they can't try to intimidate a newspaper publisher and get away with it. We won't give up until they've been caught once and for all. It was early afternoon when a man known as Charlie entered Fleetwood's apartment carrying a copy of the Daily Sentinel.
Hey, boss, he did it again. Right on the front page. Look here.
They should have known he would. This editorial is even stronger than the last one. Mr. Reed's importunity leaves no alternative but to carry out our threat, Charlie.
You mean Dave and me should go lay for him and give him the work?
Don't be impetuous, my friend. Your suggestion is impractical.
Now listen, boss, this ain't no time for playing with big words.
Your idea won't work. You understand that?
Well, why not? It worked with Dunlow.
Idiot. Reed will be expecting something to happen. Police will be watching near the Sentinel building. And near his home.
Oh, I didn't think.
You couldn't think.
Yeah. Well, either way, it means the same thing, I guess. What do we do then? We look like a lot of bums if we let him get away with them editorials now.
I doubt if you and Dave could improve your appearance that much. Both of you can go about your business. I'll take care of the Betweed case.
You? All by yourself?
Yes, all by myself. All 300 cursed pounds of me. Now get out. You bore me with your drivel.
Okay, boss. Me and Dave will see you here tonight.
Implicable thought.
Yeah, amen. So long.
Come. Now, let me think. I must devise a plan to see Britt Reed in his own office. It will give me the cleanest of pleasure to show him I am much more clever than he. I'll manage somehow to get Reed to this apartment tonight. And I've got to get him here. Alone.
It was almost dusk. Britt Reed was in his office talking to Mike Axford when Miss Case entered.
Mr. Reed, there's a gentleman to see you. He sent in his card.
Mm-hmm. Horace Fleetwood, private detective.
He's about the fattest person I've ever seen. You should hear him talk.
A foreigner, huh?
No. No, but every word's a mouthful.
Oh, he sounds interesting, Miss Case. You may show Mr. Fleetwood in.
Yes, sir.
And, at the same time, show Mr. Axford out.
Come on, Michael.
You waiting outside with Tars, Reed?
Mr. Reed will see you now, Mr. Fleetwood.
Thank you, my dear young lady. Thank you.
You come right this way, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Reed, this is indeed a pleasure and a privilege.
Please sit down, Mr. Fleetwood, and make yourself comfortable.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the size and stability of your chairs. My overabundant avoirdupois is incomprehensible to some people, but I've become impervious to their jabs. Obviously, you're wondering about my visitor.
I am slightly curious. Not private detective.
In all the Machiavellian way, yes. I am engaged by an army packing association to invest market. I noted your bombastic editorials in the Daily Sentinel, indicating your keen interest in breaking the racket in this city and in bringing about the apprehension of the vicious killer who heads the misguided group.
I'd like nothing better.
From the clues I've gathered and the deductions I've made on the case, I've come to the conclusion that I can definitely point to the fiend responsible for Dunlow's murder. The man who is the leader of the local black market in meat.
Really? Have you confided in the police?
No, no. The man in question knows me well. He's clever, crafty, disarmingly pleasant at times, but when moved to anger, he's extremely dangerous. One might say a mixture of saint and devil.
So?
He knows my every move as I know his. I, his worst enemy, am also his best friend.
This is rather strange.
To what am I leading?
Exactly. This man knows every move you make. He must know that you're here now.
I'm sure he does. But he's convinced that I know you very well. That this visit is purely a friendly one. He doesn't know me as a detective. And it's entirely foreign to his mind that I bring to light and accuse him of his crimes.
Why have you come to me?
I was going to the publisher of the Clarion. But when I noted that you were carrying on a one-man campaign in your newspaper against the racketeers, I decided you'd be the logical person for my purpose.
And what is your purpose?
I want you to go with me. Ostensibly, on a friendly visit to my apartment. There, I'll turn over to you all the evidence I've gathered. Then, I'll drive you home. You can then contact the police, and your paper will get the credit for bringing the case.
Your request is unusual, Mr. Fleetwood. Though I have your card.
You require more credentials, of course. Hey, look at these papers. A letter from a publisher in another city, giving me credit for breaking the racket there. Also, a letter from the head of the association by whom I'm employed.
Mm-hmm. I see.
My car is outside. You'll be perfectly safe. I'm armed in case of trouble. And with the evidence in your possession, you can have the police act immediately. Are you willing to come with me, Mr. Reed?
Well, I... Yes, Mr. Fleetwood. I'll go with you to get that evidence right now.
This small apartment for a couple of weeks. Sit down near the desk. I have the evidence right here in the desk drawer.
I hope you have sufficient evidence against him.
You can be the judge of that.
By the way, may I use this telephone to call the office? I forgot to tell them about running a certain editorial.
Yes, of course. But I must warn you to give no information as to where you are or with whom.
I won't. I'm very anxious to look over that evidence, Mr. Fleetwood. It's fortunate for the Sentinel that you came to me.
I'm sure your paper will have stunning headlines before tomorrow, Mr. Reed.
Mr. Reed's apartment?
This is Britt Reed calling.
Yes, Mr. Britt. I'm waiting dinner for you.
What's that? You say the Sentinel had a phone call from the Green Hornet?
I not understand, Mr. Britt. I say
a
that...
A tip on the black market and meat, you say? Why didn't you have the trace call traced?
You tried to give a message, perhaps?
Yes, that's what I said. Trace the call. All you had to do was to get another phone while he was on the line.
I trace call right now from other phone. If you tried to keep line open short time.
Well, that's right. Hold on a moment. Say, Mr. Fleetwood, have you come across any evidence that the Green Hornet is in with that gang?
Green Hornet? No, I'm positive he has no connection with the case.
That's strange. We found that the Hornet's mixed up in most rackets in this city.
That's sure. But I can assure you, he's not mixed up with this one. I suggest you complete your phone call so we can go over this evidence.
Yes, of course. But, I'm undecided about having them run a story on the call they received from the Hornet.
Did it ever occur to you that such a call might be from a crank or prankster, and not from the Green Hornet at all?
Well, that's so. Well, I guess the best thing to do is to ignore the whole thing. I'll tell them. Hello? Don't run a story on that yet. We'll wait for further developments. And I want you to run that black market editorial again.
Hello, Mr. Britt. I trace call. I get Black Beauty and come there quick like anything. Goodbye.
All right. Do what you think is best. I'll see you later tonight. Bye.
Now you can glance at these. The leader of the group was careful to get a receipt from each farmer who sold the black market meat. Put these over.
Thanks. Received from Horace Fleetwood, $600. In payment, 200 pounds of... Why, all these receipts are made out to you.
Exactly, Mr. Brittage. I am the leader of the racket. This gun I hold should tell you the rest. So once you come, Mr. Reed, your faith in human nature is amazing. But enough of this. Can I say...
Hey, is that really the guy?
Mr. Britt Reed, in person.
Hey, boss, how'd you do it?
Never mind that. Hold your gun on him, Charlie. You did tie him up. Then you can put him in the bedroom and like him back. I'm going over to the warehouse and check that last load.
Hey, I got him covered. Get busy, Dave. Where's pleasure?
When I come back, I'll settle accounts with Mr. Britt Reed. Once and for all.
Charlie and Dave put him on a bed in the bedroom.
Guess he can't get away now. So you're the great Mr. Reed, eh?
So what?
You'll find out so what when the boss gets back.
Hey, Charlie, listen. Somebody's sure leaning on the door, Buzzard.
Wait a minute. Wait till I set these knots, see if he's tight enough. Yeah. Come on, we'll see who the dope is before he wears the buzzer out.
About you, Cato?
Yes, sir. I stick pin and buzzer to get men from room. Good thing apartment on the first floor. I run around quick to window. I am tell you now.
Did you bring a hornet disguise?
Yes. We leave in hurry.
No, we've got a job to do.
How you get captured?
I didn't, really. I came out here in my own volition.
Why you do that?
I knew the man who sent that warning note was clever. I expected the trick. When he came to my office posing as a detective, I suspected him. He described himself a little too freely.
There. You're free now.
Well, let's go. We'll get the two men who are in the other room before the boss gets back. We'll go through the window and in the front door.
In the living room of the apartment, Charlie and Dave were discussing the incident of the door buzzer.
Who do you think could have stuck that pin there in that buzzer, Charlie?
Maybe some dopey drunk passing through the hallway. Guess he thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Boss sure made a quick trip.
I guess he wanted to get back to get rid of Reed.
Don't make a move, Muggs. You're covered.
Holy mackerel, who's that guy? He's a green horrified.
And I don't like crooks to move him on my racket.
Gun him down, Charlie.
Show him.
Oh, no, you won't. Hey, you knocked him out with that chair.
Don't need a chair for you, don't worry.
If I can get my rod out.
Quiet little gas, buddy.
You must need help. Now what we do?
Get the papers out of that desk. I'll put them in my pocket. Then tie me up again and put me on the bed. After that, call the police. Tell them to come here and close in on Fleetwood. Hurry. Then stay nearby in case I need you.
It was half an hour later when Fleetwood entered the apartment.
Dave. Dave, Charlie. What happened? Who's that cold? Reed must have... Shields on the foreheads. Green hornet shields. Gone. Every last scrap of paper gone.
What's happened?
Plenty of fool. That tip your paper got about the hornet was on the level. Fortunately, I can still settle my score with you, my friend. This gun I have carries a Salinger. This is a very propitious time to use it.
Drop that gun on your own.
Please. They won't help you. My shoulder.
All right. Take him away, boys. Put him for attempted murder.
I'll live and let God miss you.
Are you okay?
I'm all right. But I don't like being trussed up like a chicken.
I have you know as soon as you beat.
We got a tip that we find the Black Market gang here, Mr. Reed. But we didn't expect to find you here.
That's the same fat guy Reed left the office with a while ago. There.
Yes. He's the leader of the gang. He sent me that note. Then came to the office and persuaded me to believe he was a detective working on the case.
Hey, Sarge. Those two we found lying in the other room have hornet seals stuck on them.
Then the hornet's been here.
Yes, he was, Sergeant. In fact, he stuck some papers in my pocket. These.
Where? Say now. Well, this is evidence against Fleetwood. I guess the hornet recognized you and thought to tie you in with the gang.
Ain't that something? You mean to say, Reed, the green hornet was in this room and got close enough to stick them papers in your pocket?
It was the hornet's own hand that put the papers in my pocket, Axford.
What? Holy crow.
Bye.